Yeah, I want to share some short life stories with you. It's not a scientific study or something. In care, we had a storytelling bazaar 1.5 years ago, and we were kind of so impressed by some of these stories that we thought we should try to share them. So that's what this presentation is about. Care started working in Ethiopia with a big famine in 1984 and has a huge livelihood program right now. And since 1996, we have been increasingly embarking on health issues. At the moment, funding in the international scene is very low for education programs, but we had an education project which ended in 2005, I think. Care Ethiopia has been working on the USAID-funded Basic Education Strategic Objective, called BASO, and the Strengthening Communities Through Partnership for Education Scope project, with a lot of partners. Save the Children was part of it. It was kind of a consortium. In the BASO program, Care has provided technical assistance to implementers in capacity building for school administration. That was a national program to put in place parents-teacher associations, and to put in place girls' advisory and girls' empowerment committees. So why is school retention in Ethiopia a problem? There are a lot of harmful traditional practices in Ethiopia, and in the Western world we have this tendency to jump on female genital cutting and to jump on rape and abduction. But the National Institute identified 120 different national traditional practices which are kind of harmful. Some of them are directly related to health. Many of them have cultural implications. So, one of the problems is, and I think my colleague is called taking over for the problem of early marriage a little bit later, but one of the problems is that in some areas, abduction to marry a woman is very common. So women or girls are abducted and raped, which makes them automatically, traditionally, the partner for these men. It's not everywhere, but it's in some areas, and it has as a consequence that parents are reluctant to leave girls in school, that they are afraid, especially when girls are enrolled very late, then they are already in a sexual active age when they are going to secondary school, and secondary school normally is not available at the home place. So that's one of the reasons why girls are taken off from school by their parents, because they are afraid that they will lose their girls to these practices. And till recently it was like that. If a girl became pregnant, she had to leave school as well. So it's only recently that this has changed. And it's a part of a change, I think, in the civil society in Ethiopia. It just takes time. But the status of women is changing. The question is, what is doing it? And you can't attribute it to one only reason. So health projects they're in the same area. Apart from this education, the putting in place of parents-teacher associations, we had a lot of other projects at the same time. We had a livelihood project, we have an HIV/AIDS and family planning project, all in the same area. And that, I'm mentioning that because the stories I just presenting to you is you can't, at some point in time, you can't really say anymore, this intervention did this. You are building capacity and you are empowering communities, and they change their attitudes and they change their side of how life should happen. So at some point in stage, you can't anymore say this change is attributable to this project. It is the community empowerment which is changing the community's perception of certain practices and make it more acceptable, for example, that these girls which have given birth are staying in school. So this is, I read it from the paper. So one of the stories was from a girl called Melina Duba. She was 15 years old, and she became a victim of early marriage. She was forced into marriage by a relative of a friend. The man abducted her on her way back from school, and he took her to the Dava gold mining area. she began to understand the reality of early and unrequited marriage, and her husband began to abuse her, to beat her. After some time, she managed to relay her location to her friends at home, and then they reported these whereabouts to the Girls Empowerment Committee of her school. The Girls Empowerment Committee tried to bring her back to her family and to resume her education and go back to school. And after several weeks, they succeeded to change the environment, that they would say, yeah, come back and live here. She gave birth before she even was legally married. Her husband has no income, and his mother is financially supporting both of her sons. The mother is actually part of the parents' teacher committee. The Girls Club assisted Melina Duba to continue to seventh grade, and now she has been promoted to eighth grade. Another story is from Sabida Mohammed. She was 25 years old when she was interviewed by one of our staffs living in East Harare in Jiro Gemechu. Oh, sorry, thanks. Mumet Village. At the age of 25, she has 4 children and she became a widow. And the family of her husband, that's very common. Women in Ethiopia have problems to inherit any property. The family of her husband took everything from her, the farmland, which was her livelihood, and forced her to go back to her own parents with all the 4 children. So she had to take care of her children, and she had to take them out of school, and she didn't have a lot of food, so the health became bad. At that time, in the project area, one of the care livelihoods project started, the Hebrew project, and they have one women empowerment activity where they are teaching women how to save money. It's actually self-help and saving groups. You don't get seed money. Women are participating. It's a group of trust. Women are participating every month till a certain sum is in the cash, and then they start to give out loans from that. That's what Sabidia did. She was very committed. She was one of the first joining these saving groups. She started to take off loans. She started to trade. She traded goats, buying them in the rural areas, selling them in a better place. And she made actually at the end much more money than she ever had when her husband was still supporting the family. And now she has started to promote these activities herself in the village to other women to become part of these saving groups. There's one more school story. The School Girls Empowerment Club clubs are very effective in mobilizing community supports to support girls in school if they are active. Not all of them are, but some of them. In this case, it is the Rita School in Borna. And in that case, the leader of the Girls Empowerment Club is a woman herself. It's a woman teacher, Negele Buruno. And she was very committed to organize the girls and help them to discuss problems and present issues to parents and teacher associations. The club collected 250 beer, that's about $28, from the community contributions from the girls, and raised other funds by performing plays on public holidays and selling soft drinks and tea. They had a female director 2 years ago, and as a result, the community saw that it makes sense that a woman can have a job on her own, and the enrollment figure of girls in this rural area has increased in that year very much. 10 girls are supported by the Girls Empowerment Clubs, so they receive dresses, notebooks and pens by them, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to resume their education. Girls Empowerment Club brought back 2 girls which were taken out of school by their parents by promising to the parents that they would pay for their school expenses. And we have a whole collection of these stories, and then sometimes the English might be a bit funny. It's our community workers which have been presenting these stories on this bazaar, and it's just so fascinating for me to see how building capacity of communities makes them becoming active themselves, raising funds themselves, becoming really in charge of another future and taking responsibilities for their fellow villagers. So that's why these good governance comes in. So if you build capacity, they, at least in Ethiopian society, which is much less individualistic like the American than the American ones, people start to be more inclusive and to look after people who are at the margin of the society and try to give, to make them part of the community, them and profit from services and support structures. Okay. Institutional strengthening empowered parents, teacher associations, and the school-based girls empowerment clubs to retain and bring back girls into school by negotiating with the parents. They went to the parents, discussed with them, and even supporting some girls to go to court against abduction and rapists. It's very rare, but it starts to happen, and to speak out against forced marriage. There have been some activities supported by CARE to build halfway houses, have kind of a hostel to protect girls from abduction and rape and allow them to complete secondary school far from their parents' houses. Lessons learned is if you use community structures and leaders, this is essential to prevent harmful traditional practices or to even fight them. If you can't get the leaders on board in traditional societies like Ethiopia, there's no way to enter the community anyway. Harmful traditional practices with negative health impact cannot only be addressed by health interventions alone. There must be more in building capacity of communities. Of course, female genital cutting you can regard as a health issue, but if you only tackle it with health workers, you just don't see the whole of the cultural implication, which is in much other sectors prominent as well. Normally, female genital cutting is regarded as prerequisite to marriage. If you are not marriageable, that's your role as a woman. You have no being in the society or no future. So it is not a health issue to talk about female genital cutting. It is a cultural issue which is defining your social status in the society. Building community competence in different sectors and increasing good governance can overcome harmful traditional practices, and outcomes cannot really be attributed to specific interventions if you have a whole society in a transitional state. Thank you very much.